of God.
We need opinions on information, God. We need revelation, God. We really need to hear from you tonight. So much going on in our life, Lord. We need to hear from you. So we're begging, we're asking, we're pleading for your wisdom. And we thank you in advance, God. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family, if I'm correct, we are in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Give me a thumbs up if we are in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and you can hear me. Amen. All right. Well, let's go on and jump right into the word. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. The king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." And the king said, "And where is thy master's son?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abided at Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.'" Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth." And Ziba said, "I humbly beg you that I may find grace in your sight, my lord." And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, then came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimeel, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and all that the servants of the king, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimeel when he cursed, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord had delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in mischief because you are a bloody man." Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray, and take his head off." The king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, 'Curse David.' Who shall then say, 'Wherefore hast thou done this?'" David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? And let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimeel went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust or kicked up dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. So I will stop right there and pause. And get some insight on what we have going on in chapter 16. Are you all muted? No one wants to talk to me tonight?
Yeah, it's kind of just fulfilling that prophecy that talked about David's household being wrenched in half, you know.
Yep, I get you, Brother John.
And then we'll get a clearer picture in the next couple chapters of this guy that's cursing. Because it doesn't go unpunished, but it's funny how people come out of the woodwork when they think it's safe, you know. The Trump supporters, the racists come out when they think the racist in charge, you know. So he thinks Absalom is a permanent king and David's nothing now, so he can just go ahead and curse him.
What about, give me a comparison, somebody, of David's interaction with Ziba and then David's interaction with Shimeah. What about, what do you see, how do you see God in that? First, let's talk about Ziba, his interaction with Ziba. What does that show you about his situation and God? How does God show up in that situation?
Okay. Pastor Carter.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. Talk to me.
I'm trying to. I may be wrong, but I'm gonna say what I gotta say.
Please say it, to you, Kathy.
Ziba was an opportunist.
Okay.
And he took advantage of David, both David and Mephibosheth. And he was a liar. And then Shimei was the accuser. He accused David about, let's see. And David was saying, just let, don't bother him. Let him say what he say, because maybe God is telling him to tell me all these things. So who am I to judge him? That's what I think about those two.
Okay. And that's, thank you, Sister Kathy. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Brandy, did you want to share something as well? Okay.
I just wanted to say,
thank you, Cynthia.
I'm trying to read it too, because I'm reading back and forth. It's almost like, you know, what we're hearing now, you've heard the rumors of things that have happened and now it's coming to pass, because he knew from what happened with Saul that this curse was given. So now it's like it's come to fruition. This is like we're getting the news now, media, TMZ, whatever you want to call it. You get facts, fake news, whatever. This has happened. So now he's standing there. They told me this was going to happen. And he's angry, you know, with some merit, because what is going on now, I'm going to get a chance to get you for what was done back at Saul. Also, like she said with Ziba, or whomever said with Ziba, opportunist. He's just like at the right place at the right time. You know, what you carrying these mules for? Why you got all this? So it's like he's right there and he can put forth where this king has already been messed over because of a, you know, a prior prophecy.
Okay. And I guess we can make a note that God's word is true. Regardless of how unpleasant it is, God told David that, you know, it's going to be some issues in your house, and you're going to have to deal with a lot for the sin that you participated in. And we, you know, we're always praying and asking God to, you know, as far as forgiving us of our sins. But in addition to that, Lord, please be merciful with the consequences of the sin, because, you know, if David would have known all this would have happened when he was out of position and called Bathsheba to come over, if he would have known all this would have happened, he probably wouldn't have partook in it. And so
probably he wouldn't have.
Yeah, he wouldn't have. You would hope not, right, Sister Kathy?
He wouldn't have. If he knew in advance.
If he knew
it's just like us. If we knew we was going to be punished for sin, we wouldn't sin.
Yeah, and then we have to kind of look at the whole picture and not just the enemy tries to, the beautiful aspect of it that the enemy tries to paint, like he did with Adam and Eve. You know, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. And so he didn't tell them that. You're going to be afraid. You're going to hide. You're going to try and cover up. You're going to feel shame. You're going to blame each other. You're going to have two kids, two sons. One is going to kill the other. He didn't tell them all that. He just told them what they wanted to hear. And so we have to always take that into account. And it's hard. You know, we're not going to sit here and pretend that it's not difficult when, as the Lord told Cain, that that sin is crouching at the door. Before we walk out the door, as we're walking out the door, sin is crouching, waiting for us to try and get us caught up in some foolishness. And it's always there. And we have to kind of play the whole thing out so we don't get caught up. And because the consequences are as we see here, are really, you know, it's God's word. And the word, as the word says, the wages of sin are death. And so if it's unconfessed sin, and if you think you're going to stand before God with a bunch of sin and not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, then you'll find out that the wages of sin is death, which is separation from God. But even in addition to Ziba, I do see a few things that God is doing. And I don't know if it matters who loses, but even when David's on the run, we see that we see the favor of God, we see the grace of God. David's on the run, Ziba is an opportunist, but God uses who he will. Look what he brings. Amen. You're in the middle of the wilderness, right, Sister Kathy? You're in the middle of the wilderness, and somebody shows up. They show up with loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisin, and 100 summer fruits, and for my sipping saints, they even brought you a bottle of wine. So
all right,
it don't get much better than that.
All right.
No, but but it shows how God provides in the wilderness. So make a note of that. Even when we're on the run, God provides. So I see the grace of God, I see the favor of God, and I see the provision of God. In verse 2, when David says, what are you doing this for? And sometimes we don't think we deserve to. The grace and the favor. Well, we know we don't deserve the grace, and we deserve hell. But here is God showing grace and favor, and sometimes we just got to embrace it. Make a note of this, too, family. It was harder for David to receive from Ziba than it was for David to receive from Shimeo.
Okay.
It was, Sister Kathy, it was harder for him to say, let me receive this grace and this love and this favor, this blessing and this provision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he is being cursed, he's like, man, leave him alone. Let him do it. I deserve that.
Right.
And sometimes it's harder for us to receive the blessings of God than it is for us to receive, you know, when someone is talking down to us, we feel like we deserve it. And so we have to be cautious of that. Because God is good and God is gracious, and receive it. You know, when you do something and somebody wants to pay you and you go, no, and they're saying, I don't want you to block my blessing. The Lord put on my heart to give you this. And you go, no. It's hard to receive the grace of God, knowing you need it, you know? And so we just have to be conscious of it. And I'm always saying, ask God for wisdom. Because if it is any deception in this with Ziba, remember, David hasn't been discerning the deception. David's just been flowing. So you do have to discern the deception. What's the ulterior motive for Ziba? And if you would indulge me, turn, I have it in my notes. Before we go there, I also have in my notes, is I was in my study, it was showing how David showed just the humility when he was being cursed. And this guy's throwing stones at him and kicking dirt at him. And he showed humility. And then it talked about, it did a comparison with Christ, how when Christ, the same way, when he was being led to the cross, he showed an awful lot of humility. So you might be getting persecuted on your job, in your home, and you don't, someone's cursing you out. Uh-oh, let me say this again, family. Someone's cursing you out. You don't have to curse them. You don't have to start cursing them out. You don't have to start, you know, cursing back.
Hey, Pastor.
I didn't get one amen, but that's okay.
Hey, Pastor. I thought it was interesting when I read about this before, that he shows a lot of restraint with the guy that was basically cursing him. Mm-hmm. But then the last thing he tells to Solomon is have this guy killed. Make sure you first thing you do is to kill this guy.
He showed a lot of
respect. Like, I won't do it, but I need you to, you know. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things Solomon did was get rid of this guy.
And then also David said maybe God has sent him. Remember, God is always speaking, right? We just have to make sure we're listening. Even when someone, if we're out of position or we're doing something we don't have any business doing and someone's cursing us out, I shouldn't even be here. You know, I'm the one out of position. I shouldn't even be here hearing this. So God's always, what is God saying? God's trying to tell me I need to get to where I need to get back in position. And then also it said they were refreshed there, even in the midst of the cursing and everything, they were refreshed. So God refreshes us when we handle some situations humbly. We don't lash out and start cursing back and wanting to start a fight. We let God handle it, and God refreshes us. But this is what I wanted to share. Turn with me to Proverbs 20 and 17. And this goes along with verses 13. Proverbs 20, 17, Sister Kim. Mm-hmm. And this kind of sums where David is right now. Are you there, Sister Kathy?
Yes.
Can you read it for me, please?
Oh, wait a minute. I was there. Hold on.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Kind of sums up where David is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was all good when he was sleeping with Bathsheba, but he didn't realize it down the line. And literally, he's getting dirt and dust kicked in his face and stones thrown at him. And it's just, and it turns sour. And we just have to be so careful, because the enemy paints a picture that it is, bread of deceit is sweet, but, and we all know from experience, we got involved in something that we thought was cool, or we thought we got away with it. And then down the line, our mouth was, it turned into a real sour situation. Mouth was filled with gravel. I'm not going to ask those of you who made mud cakes in the backyard when you were little. And I'm not going to ask those of you who would eat them, because I know I got some on here who did. I'm just not going to put y'all on blast right now.
Okay.
Hey, but we used to make the mud pies in the backyard, and they tasted a little grainy, I admit.
Yeah.
But that's what God is saying. It's just, that's how when sin is manifested, it might seem good, but then down the line it's gravel. And that's not good. And David's dealing with all of that right now. Anyone else? Brother Sandley, you want to add anything to it? Hey, you got on. Thank you, Brother Sandley.
How are you guys doing today?
Really good.
All right.
Well, I'm just, as I'm looking, it's like like you said, like no matter what goes on in life, if you know you connected with God, He will provide. And He might not provide the way you wanted Him to provide, but nevertheless, provide. You know, we just have to be willing to open and vigilant to know that it is coming from God and not from other people. Because like they said, somebody might give you something in the beginning, it might seem sweet, but later on, it might be a trap, you know? So we have to be careful on who we allow taking gifts from also. Because not everything that looks sweet is actually sweet.
Amen. Hey, great point. Anyone else want to share anything? Anyone else want to share anything before we finish the chapter on 1-14? Anything else? Did we miss anything? All right, let's finish 15-23. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said unto Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why didn't you go with your friend, referring to David? Hushai said unto Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose his will, I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. And then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we should do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. And then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Are you serious? What the? And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And we will stop there tonight. Wow.
Yeah, that was a traitor.
Say it again, Sister Kathy.
He was a traitor.
Which one?
Ahithophel.
Yes, he was.
Because he was with David at one time. Then he switched over to Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
He was all behind David. Then he switched over to Absalom to support him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think somebody said it earlier. You got to be careful who you. I think Brother Sam said you got to be careful who you interact with and who you call your friend, especially nowadays with so much going on in the world. I mean, it's you don't know who you're walking next to. You don't know who you're marching next to. And this guy, I mean, what kind of advice? And please be careful who you take advice from.
Amen.
I don't care what their title is. Some bizarre, wicked advice that he's given Absalom. I didn't make a note. Absalom, as opposed to asking God, hello, family?
Yes, sir.
As opposed to asking God, he's asking some supposed leader. And make a note, when something happens in your life, you spend time with God, you first go to God in prayer. And then you talk to the leader, and they should confirm what God is putting on your heart. Mm-hmm. So then you know, you at least have an idea if it's of God or not. Is it based on God's word? You got to go to God first, family. And then if you come to me or any other leader, any other path, we're just confirming what God has already put on your heart. And let me share this with you. If it's not based on the holiness of God's word, then you know that's not
yes, sir.
Ready. If it's not based on the holiness of God's word and the word of God, then you know that's not God's word. But just notice Absalom. But remember, we know that Absalom didn't have a relationship with God. He was shallow. He said he was beautiful from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. So he was into himself. So he asked Ahithophel, and I guess Ahithophel told him exactly what he wanted to hear. And so that's why we go to people, you know, you know who to ask when you want to do something. You want them to co-sign for what you want to do. You don't call your godly friends you don't want to do something. You call the other, you call your Ahithophels, because they're going to tell you, everybody's doing it. It ain't that bad. No, you're taking this Jesus stuff too far. So you ask them so they could tell you what you want to hear, as calling one of your godly friends who's going to tell you, are you out of your mind? Go to God. What is going on with you?
Pastor Carter, just like Solomon went and got got counsel from his friends rather than take the wise counsel from the older people that was telling him why, giving him wise counsel. Amen. But he took it from his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon.
Yes, thank you. Brother Stanley.
After I read this, I kind of look at it at a different angle.
Talk to me.
I kind of look at it where is that in the chapters before, when God told David that you would sin in the darkness, but when I come to correct you, I will correct you in the light. And I feel like what Absalom is doing is basically what God already told David that he was going to do to him. Like, you think you're going to try me in the dark, but I'm going to get you in front of everybody. And I think that's what's going on with Absalom right now, because I feel like he's going out of his way to disrespect his dad, you know, and you can tell that it's not of him. It's the enemy that's trying him, and he's not seeing that. So therefore, he's being used, you know, but it shows you that God's word always stays, you know, what we do in the dark, when God punishes us, he doesn't care where he punishes us at, basically, is what I see.
Now, that's a great point, Stanley, and God did tell him that, David, you did this in secret, but your stuff is going to be exposed in front of everybody. And so I guess for us, Brother Stanley, I mean, I just have to make sure I'm not the instrument of sin that exposes someone else's sin, right? Because Absalom, it could have happened with somebody else, but Absalom, he's going to be used to do this thing. I mean, the scriptures, I mean, as we've been going through the Old Testament, we've seen some stuff that's been mind-boggling. And Judges, I mean, it was just some situations in Judges. We're reading the scripture like, are you serious? This is another one of those. Who gets a tent, goes on top of the house in front of everybody so everybody can see him sleeping? And we know there was 10 concubines that was left. So he goes and sleeps with them in front of the whole city. This is atrocious, you know? Satanic. This is satanic advice from Ahithophel. I could. That's what I have in my notes. I mean, this is some satanic advice, and he's acting out on it. God help us. Anyone else? What about
call from Northern?
I may have to say I'm clearing back.
What about Hushai? What about his role? We know that David told him he wanted to come with David. David told him to go back and be a spy for him. What do you think about, I guess my question, this is a tough question. So look at verse 18. And Hushai said to Absalom, "No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose will I be, and with him I will abide. And again, whom shall I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son?" as I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. So is it okay to lie and deceive? I don't know. I want to throw that out there. Is this okay, what he's doing? So I don't know. I just want to get some thoughts. Give me some feedback.
Pastor Carter, that just was your loyalty real? I mean, that's a question of loyalty right there. And then somebody confronted you on it and asked you about it. Okay, man, you know, what you going to do? You were with David all this time, and now all of a sudden you're going to switch over to me? Am I going to trust him?
Right, right.
Yeah, but I think he had a little something against David. I don't think he was a loyal. He had something against David because Bathsheba was his granddaughter. So now David, you know, had his granddaughter's husband killed and all this. And so I think, you know, it's a little bit revenge factor.
Revenge, okay.
No, but who's...
He lost respect for David.
Who? Were we still talking about Hushai?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the one that went back said he's going to serve the son like he served the father.
Right.
The one that gave the bad advice about the going in under the concubines.
No, no, no.
The one David sent back was actually loyal.
Correct. And that's the one I'm asking about. So then, John, with that, I'm saying, is it okay for him to lie right now and to deceive Absalom? Is that okay?
Okay. What did he lie about?
He said he's coming back to serve Absalom, which we know he's coming back to be a spy for David.
You could do both.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'm just asking. I mean, when do... Well, you know, as we, you know, and I mean, it is somewhat complicated. I mean, we see it here in the scriptures. It's not the first time we've
seen
it.
He just said he was going to serve.
Yeah. And we'll read in the next chapter next week how he gives him some advice that's contrary to Ahithophel so he can, you know, so it can kind of backfire on him. But, you know, and here's the reality of it, because we tell our kids, hey, you know, tell the truth and be honest and things like that. And then we see in the scriptures where here's a guy lying, but it's to protect the king, but it's still a lie. And is it anyway? So, and, you know, and
what he said, he came to serve the king.
Okay. So he did.
And that's what he was doing. But David was the king.
All right, Brother John. Anyone else? Anyone else want to comment on it? No, but I get it, John. But then we know deception is a form of lying too. He's not totally disclosing because Absalom did call him and call him out on it, saying, "What are you doing here?" You know, and he could have said, "Well, David sent me to spy on you, and I'm gonna go back and tell David what you're doing, so David can eventually kill you." That would have been true.
Yeah,
but you can't tell him that. That's right, because of truth. Anyway. I'm just, anybody else want to comment, and then we'll go ahead and we'll wrap it up for tonight. Any other thoughts on this, on chapter 17? I mean, chapter 16.
Well, Pastor?
Yes, Sister Claudette, thank you.
Can we compare, can we compare this to Rahab?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, Brother Stanley, that's what you would, thank you, Sister Claudette, because Brother Stanley was thinking the same thing. Talk to me, Sister Claudette.
Well, she lied, but she's listed in the Hall of Faith.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
I got you. No, thank you, Sister Claudette. Because remember, I said this isn't the first time we've had this discussion as we've been going through the Old Testament. But thank you. No, I mean that's you. What can you say about that? You know what Rahab did. She's not only that; she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. When Matthew is, and I believe it's Matthew 1, when Matthew's going through the lineage, Rahab is mentioned right there in the lineage. So she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ and she's in the Hall of Faith.
Pastor Carter?
Talk to me, Sister Bonnie.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that humanity just doesn't understand. When we're looking at a sovereign God,
we have to
understand that God is not like us. We are the liars. We are the ones that break any law. For God, there is no law. The wind speaks to him and says, here I am, Lord. And for the humanity, if I tell people that the wind speaks to me, they're going to think I'm crazy.
All right. Amen.
If the person lied, that's only inhumanized. If it's that's why we have to line up everything we do according to the, like, we have to line it up with the word of God. When the will of God is being fulfilled, that's mm-hmm. God taking over. Mm-hmm. So it's not based under the law of men or the understanding of men, mankind. Okay. Because God will always accomplish his will, and whoever he uses, we cannot look at what they do or what they say. We're going to see that when God's will is being accomplished, even though it looks bad before our eyes, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but mm-hmm. sometimes as humans, we get really confused when someone gives you a good advice and you go with the flow mm-hmm. because you're following the good advice of the person. But if the good advice does not line up with the word of God, then we're failing. Now, in those times, they were listening directly from God. So the word of God was God himself. There was no book written for them to follow like we have. So when the word of God spoke, when God said, this is going to happen, that was the word of God. Things were lining up according to the word of the Lord.
Amen. That's a great point. Right on. Great point. Hey, Brother Stanley, do you want to add to it as well? Your thoughts on Rahab? Thank you, Sister Vani. Outstanding. And the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He allowed.
I was going to say that, just kind of piggyback on what Sister Vani said, because to me, I feel like God uses whoever he feels like and whenever he feels like it. And who is us to say whether that person said what we call is a lie, but God don't see it like that. As long as that his plan is being fulfilled, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm. And we know that God spoke through a donkey. Have we gotten to that point? Have we read that yet, or does that come later in the New Old Testament? But I can't remember if we've read that already. But we know that God spoke through a donkey before. Yeah. So,
yes, sir.
And his will was fulfilled in that moment. Yes, it was. So,
did the donkey lie?
Sovereignty of God.
There's no such thing as a lie. And also, Pastor, can it also be, what's his name? Ashua's loyalty to David, in a sense?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times, I mean, not just in this situation, there's a lot of times when you know information about anybody, a president, your boss, or whatever, and you may have maybe privileged information, but in order to protect that person, you may omit or say certain things just because you don't want to taint that person's character or whatever, in a sense.
And it is, it definitely, he was definitely loyal to David because he took his life into his own hands. And if he goes back and Absalom senses that he's a traitor or he's a spy, he's dead. So that's a lot of loyalty. It took a lot of courage for him to go back and to get right in the middle of all that, where he initially wanted to get away from it. And he came back to get right in the middle of all that. And if he's discovered or if he's exposed, then that's it. You know, he's done. So that's a certain level of loyalty as well. Also have in verse 22 that sexual sins are not anything new. Right, we saw that with David and Bathsheba, and here we are, and Absalom. I guess this is the first recorded pornography incident by Absalom. I mean, this is just ridiculous under the council.
Being seen.
Say it again, Brother Cliff.
Being seen. I mean, you know, that was advertisement, basically. You know, here I am with all of these. I mean, they knew harems existed. They knew kings had hundreds of concubines or whatever. But that to me, he was like still being seen, showing himself off.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was into himself. And then it just like we saw with Saul. Oh, my gosh. You know, I kind of peeked ahead. And just the way that Saul had no connection to God and died a horrible death, Absalom is, you know, it's the same thing's going to happen to him, and no connection to God, horrible death. And then we've already peeked ahead into David in David's life in 1 Chronicles 29, where it says David died of honor and riches and old age. It's just a difference when you're connected to God. It doesn't mean that you didn't commit any sin. It doesn't mean that you were better than anyone else, but your heart was connected to God. And God honors that in the midst of our struggles, you know? And that's what people don't understand. It's not anything we can do to earn this, because it can't be earned. It can only be received. And that's through Jesus Christ. Because all have sinned, is not one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of our works are like filthy rags. And that's why we need a savior. It's...
Pastor Carter.
Sister Bonnie.
And also another observation I have is, and I don't know if we have seen it in our times, but you know, when we have our children, I wonder if God reveals some of our sin through them in the future, and they don't even know that they're just a victim of our past indulgence of sin. And it just comes to the light because Absalom didn't know what his father had done. It was just revealed to us through the word that this would happen. Now, the God is the same God. So if we're entertaining sin and he keeps speaking to us, we're going to be shamed with what our future children are doing. And not to say that normal sin, of course, in the flesh of our children, they're going to have their own decisions to make. But there's certain things that fall upon them due to our indulgence of our sin in the past. So we need to really think about these things and consider what God is speaking. Even now, he's continually speaking about die to your flesh. We were circumcised in our hearts. So we need to be faithful to God for that reason.
Yeah, and Sister Bonnie, as I was studying this, man, you're right on. I thought about that too, and like, Lord, have mercy, you know. Mm-hmm. And how far back does it go?
Yes.
And praying that Christ would break generational curses.
Amen.
And if it's any uncovered or hidden sin, confessing and forsaking, ask God for mercy upon, you know, my children. And I definitely, that thought, it's a tough thought, you know, it's a tough thought. And you say, man, Lord, please have mercy. But we see it in the word right here that Absalom's just reaping the sins of his father. And for those of us that have kids, it's humbling. It's terrifying. It's should be life changing. Should be transformative from this day forward. And as we're praying and covering our kids, it's hard enough with them trying to navigate just on their own, let alone with them having to deal with some unconfessed sins or seeds we planted. And God say, yeah, you're going to deal with it and your kid going to deal with it too. Amen. And that's God's sovereign. And that's that. And that's why we need a savior. And we've, cry out for the mercy of God.
The reason is, Pastor, because when we came to God and we died to ourselves, to the flesh, we're attesting that we believe in his death. So we are newborn. We are newborn babies.
Yeah.
So any sin we take on, it doesn't belong to us no more. So it's a seed, like you said, it's a seed we plant, and the seed is going to grow and grow, and it's going to keep growing. That's the reason the curse I studied one time, I don't know right now where it is, but a curse cannot be taken away. You cannot, it's like praying against the word of God. I read a scripture where it says that the curse will be taken away when we die. Jesus will redeem us from the curse. But the curse is something that has to come upon the things that God had already ordained for them not to happen. So when we are newborn babes in the Lord and we're cleansed, every time we look back and entertain sin, we're sowing seeds to the future generations of the consequence of the sin. So that becomes a curse.
Mm-hmm. It's a sobering thought. And we know that, unfortunately, the curse of sin is, like I've been sharing every Sunday, the systemic sin. Only thing breaks the curse is Jesus Christ, but we still got to deal with the consequences of systemic sin all around us, you know? And it's that deep and that delicate, and most people don't understand it, and especially our kids don't understand it because there's so many distractions around them. But that's why the word says, be sober, be vigilant, because the enemy's walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's just nothing to play with. A few takeaways, anything else, or anything else before we wrap up for tonight? What's our takeaways tonight?
No matter if I'm on the run, God provides.
Amen.
Or if I'm in the wilderness, God will provide.
Amen. Absolutely.
Be careful who you take advice from.
Amen. And don't get rid of your, what's his name? Apocatel. Don't listen to them. Get all of them out of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Ahithophel. Get rid of all the Ahithophels in your life. And then one that I have as well, God's word is true. God said, this is what's going to happen. And guess what?
It's happening.
It happened.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, Pastor, that God's words stands truth, whether it's if he said, let there be light, or if I'm going to curse you, his word stays true.
Stays true.
Mm-hmm. It never returns void, basically what he said. His word will never return void. Right.
And I think David sensed that too, and that's why he said, look, this is God said it, and this is where I am, and so let the guy talk.
Mm-hmm. Let him talk.
Yes, it's part of what I have to go through. God's word is true. And then also, I really like the point made by Sister Bonnie that God is sovereign. So as Hushea is speaking, God's sovereign, God's will is going to be accomplished. And we might not understand it with our finite minds, but God is sovereign. That is God speaking so he can fulfill his will. And that's what God says is going to happen. So he does it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anything else, family, before we pray and dismiss? Chapter 17 is going to be very interesting as well. Let me see. Yeah, chapter 17 is going to be very interesting as well. So looking forward to that next week. And we get more application for our life. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Any other final thoughts? All right. So if you have any prayer requests, prayer needs, you know, our website, life@southbayalc.com. Sunday, 9 a.m., we will be still in the midst of our series, Suicide, Singing Suicide and Salvation. Very powerful message on Sunday, I'm believing God for. And so you want to have your notebooks ready for that one. Incredible. As I've been going through my study, want to thank you all for your giving as well. Thank you for returning your tithes and giving your offering. And then those of you that have been making donations, thank you so much. It allows us just to continue to share the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a dark and dying and a world that needs so desperately to hear the voice of God in the midst of everything that's going on. So I'm going to pray, and then we will dismiss, and then we will, Lord willing, we will reconvene on Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. As we're going through the scriptures now, Lord, we see how your word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which you sent it out to do. And so, Lord, we just ask you and pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to your word, God. All the promises of your word, we say thank you. And then all the warnings of your word, Lord, let us be mindful of those, knowing that we can't get around. We just can't experience the good without experiencing the consequences if we fall into sin and practice sin, Lord. It's going to be right there waiting for us at the door, and we have to deal with those consequences. But we do ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for your provision, as we saw in your word tonight, Lord. We saw the provision, even in the midst of the wilderness. For those of us in the midst of the wilderness, we thank you, God, that you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And God, we're just praying that we will conduct ourselves with a willing and obedient heart, so that we can experience the abundant life, the complete life, the extraordinary life that you have for us. Thank you for speaking through your word tonight, Lord. We do ask for forgiveness of sins, God, and say if we cover our sins, we will not progress. But if we confess and forsake, we will find mercy. So we confess and forsake and just ask for your mercy, and goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, Lord. And give us the strength to live an obedient life. Praying for our country, praying for the leadership, praying for our world, Lord. Your word says for us to pray for all those in leadership. So from Capitol Hill to our city council, our states, our governors, God, we need the godly to speak up. We need some wisdom. We need some divine intervention, God. Let the church stand up in such an hour as this, Lord, to decree and declare that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, to decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to decree and declare that Jesus Christ is Savior, and the world desperately and definitely needs a Savior, Lord. We need your help more than ever, God. And then give us the courage to speak up and share Christ with love through the power of the Holy Spirit with all those that we would encounter, that we would be the light, Lord. You passed the baton to us and said, we're the light of the world. God, allow us to be that light, to share a word of hope, to share a word of encouragement, to help someone, Lord, who's lost their way, God. So we ask and we beg and we plead for your wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you send someone our way, God. Give us an opportunity. Send them our way, God. And let us recognize it's a divine encounter and an opportunity to share the goodness, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with that particular individual. Pray for all those on the Zoom call tonight, Lord. Pray for their homes, cover their homes, their kids, their grandkids, their parents, Lord, their siblings. We're praying for salvation and rededication. God, we really need your help. So praying over their families, Lord, bless their home. Keep them safe, cover them, provide for them, Lord. Give them the courage to walk in obedience so their home can experience the abundant life that you have for them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and bless you for all those on the call tonight, God. Let them walk in obedience. Let them live an extraordinary life in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.